Oh, hey, good morning, everybody. So let's begin. We're up to Perek Chaf Gimel.
Water doesn't cause.
We are up to. Okay, after Perek Chaf Gimel, we're up to Pasuk Tezvav. And Perek Chaf Gimel Tezvav, we're discussing Ahala versus Ahaliva. The two cities. Good morning, Holly.
Good morning. Good morning.
Looks nice.
Okay, thank you.
I wasn't looking terribly.
But what is the...
Okay, thank you. We have Ahala versus Ahaliva. Okay, the two cities, Ahala versus Ahaliva. Ahala represents Shimrain. Ohel Ahala Ba. And Ahaliva is Ahali Shaliva. And Yerushalayim represents Ahaliva, and Hashem here is complaining. The Navi is complaining that Klal Yisrael Shomrayin first. They were influenced by Ashur. They were influenced through Avodah Zarah, and as a punishment, they were exiled. And then Ahaliva followed in the ways, the evil ways of Ahala, and also worshipped idols. And in fact, their worship and their going astray was far worse than that of Shomrayin. Not only do they actually worship idols for in real, but they fantasize. They fantasize about worshiping idols by creating for themselves images of the idols and the people that they wanted to associate with upon the key, upon the wall, the images of the Tzalmei Kastim, Chakukim, we were doing yesterday, Bas Shoshar, all different types of colors, all different types of illustrations in order to fantasize about worshipping these types of idols. Okay, now, Pasuk Tezvav. Again, it's Perichav Gimel, Perichav Gimel. Pasuk Tezvav, we continue. Chazorei Ezar B'masnehem is describing what the people of Asher look like, describing their mode of dress. They wore belts. Okay, Chagorei, there are two words which mean exactly the same thing. Chagorei Ezar B'masnehem, along their loins. Suruchei tivulim birosh shehem. Now, it's not really clear what this means.
Suruchei means it extends.
It's excess. Hangs. Tivulim means to dip. Now, dipping over here, it's not really clear what's the dipping. Okay, so we're going to just assume over here, tivilo, utzolama shiruyim. Okay, so the Mitzudos Sir and Mitzudos David says it just it's another word which means like Siruchei. It means it just extended. It was an excess. The material was more than was necessary. Birashahim upon their heads. I don't really know what this means. Some type of hat or some type of head covering where, like you see the Arabs, they wear these.
Well, he calls it a turban.
A turban?
Okay, but turban. Yeah. He says that the Bavel, the people from Bavel, used to do that with their hats.
Yeah.
That's what they dipped it in, the dye.
They dipped it in dye. It's a different interpretation.
Right. Yeah.
That's referring to the color.
Right.
But over here, the way the Mitzudos learned simply means is that it extended.
The Arabs, they wrap
right, the Arabs.
Head,
like you see that the Arabs, they have this type of garment which comes below, rests upon their shoulders, Birashahem, but somehow this thing was so beautiful, it's not really clear why. The image of seeing these two, these magnificent belts, and these turbans, or these head coverings which extended upon their shoulders, or something that was so magnificent, it aroused the people of Yerushalayim to want to imitate their way of life. Why? I don't know. It's bizarre. Mare Sholishim Kulam, each one was the image of an officer. We have the Sholishim Al Kulo, officers upon each one of the captains. They're called captains or officers upon each one of the horses and the chariots. Demus b'nei Bavel kastim. This was the image of b'nei Bavel and the kastim. Eretz meladatam, the place where they were raised, where they came from. So this pasuk we go over in Farshim is basically a very elaborate description describing exactly what the people of Bavel and the kastim looked like. And they had these large belts, chagurei ezar, two words which mean the same thing. They had upon their heads these type of hats which we are describing with three different words. They all look like princes. Notice before, back in Pasuk Yud-Beis, when we described the people who rode the chariots, we described them as being pachos usigonim, two different words, officers, governors, officers, kroivim, people that simply means they were their relative, they yearned that they should be their relatives. And here we have a new word, we have shalishim. For a grand total, we have three words, pachos, siganim, and shalishim. And here it's also what is very unique about this pasuk is it groups together Bavel and the Kastim. We mentioned this many times, is that there were two separate nations. There was a nation of Bavel and there were the Kastim. Nebuchadnezzar is always called in Tanakh Melech Bavel. Yet the army that attacks Yerushalayim are always called the Kastim. We don't find the Babylonians attacking the Beis HaMikdash. It seems that there were two different societies. They were all integrated into one. The Bnei Bavel, the mercenaries, but the Bnei Bavel, they were the aristocrats. They were people that were the Chashuvim. The Kastim were the barbarians. They were people that were mercenaries. They were bloodthirsty people that did the dirty work. And they are the ones who were the ones who engaged in battle. And the generals and the leaders were from Bnei Bavel. We always mention is that Nebuchadnezzar, he made the fatal mistake and that he married a Kastim. He was a Bavel, Bnei Bavel, and he married a Kasti, and the child was Evel Merodach, and it follows the mother. Okay, just like that was the laws of society at that time, is that the child follows the mother, like in the Jewish law, the child follows the mother. So therefore, in society, the child, his birth certificate said that he was a Kasti. And Nebuchadnezzar, that turned out to be his oldest son, one that was in line to take over the Malchus, and that ate him up. That gave him no menucha. That his child would succeed him would be a Kasti. And he was a Babli. And that's why he hated him. He hated the son of Merodach. They did not get along. And, yeah?
Vashti is referred to in the Midrash as a Kasti.
Vashti is referred to as a Kasti. Interesting. But she was really from...
there's no discussion of a distinction, but he's...
That was the grand. But, yeah.
Ahasuerus.
Yeah. Okay. So here I just want to take note that you're putting over here these two together. There's the Mus Bnei Bavel, the Kastim, Eretz Meladatam. We have over here the image of Bnei Bavel. And then it says in the same breath, the Kastim. Both of these terms are here. It's unique where they're being grouped together. Eretz Meladatam, the place where they grew up. Let's see what it says in the Mishnah Pasuk Kesvav. Chagori Ezar. The beauty of the Babylonians in the eyes of the people of Yerushalayim was that they wore these belts. Ke'ilu chagurim al mosnehem be'ezar. It's as if they are wearing on their loins a belt. Ke'ilu b'roshehem mitznafois g'delos oitfois. They have on their heads hats, which are very large. Maybe they were borsalino black hats, right? That are very, 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 very wide brim. Oitfois.
Probably more colorful than that.
Oitfois v'soylois me'achorehem. They were in excess. It was odef, it was too much. The solos it hung me'achorehem from behind their backs. The hemayu tivulim ushuruyim b'meit simon. Yes, as we said, the Mizuz does say that. It was tivulim ushuruyim. They were soaked b'meit simonim in colored dyes. So the tivulim means it's a word. It seemed that I made a mistake. It's a word that's describing that it was colored. It was colored with a beautiful color, these beautiful garments that draped on their head and extended down upon their shoulders. Next words of the Mitzudos. Mare Shalishim Kulam Kolut Salmei HaKastim. All of the images. Now here we're describing over here the wall. The people of Yerushalayim, they fantasized about worshipping the idols and imitating and joining the forces of the Babylonians. So the image they had on their wall, the murals of the Babylonians, each Babylonian was depicted as a shalish, not as an ordinary citizen, but as an officer, called Salme. All the images, HaKastim, Hoye B'mare, Sorim U'moishlim. Everyone was a officer. Demus, Zehoye Demus B'nei Bavel, Hayashim B'Kastim, the image of the B'nei Bavel, who lived B'Kastim, in the amongst the Kastim, the Eretz Meladatam, in their homeland. Okay, so the Babylonians over here, the way the Mitzudos explains is that the land really belonged to the Kastim, and the Babylonians, the Bnei Bavel, which were a different ethnic group, basically occupied and took over control of the land. That's how he teaches. The Bnei Bavel, Hayashrin, that lived the big Kastim, Eretz Meladatam, in the land of their birth. of their case. So these two are always intertwined, the cast and the balloon. Let's give you Rashi. Rashi Pasik Tes Vav. That's how they dressed. They dressed in belts. If you go look at the old pictures, that was a very big thing. We don't have it today. By men, women have. I think some of the styles of dress. You see, there's some belt plays a very big role. But by men, we don't see a belt being a big deal. In fact, today, if you look at some of the yeshiva bachur, they don't even wear belts. I once asked the yeshiva bachur, I asked him, how come I noticed all the a lot of these guys today they don't wear belts? So he said to me, that's the new style. The new style today is not to wear a belt.
How do you keep your pants
okay? How do you keep it up? I don't know. I guess they're tight. You eat a lot. You keep your. That's. And I was like, really? And I said, yeah. That's. You don't know what's going on. You're not into fashion. Chassidim is a different story. Chassidim, some of the Chassidim shivas, they stifle them. They don't even let them. You know, everyone needs to have. Exactly. Everyone needs an out. Like my sister once told me that in the Beis Yaakovs and in all the girls' schools, B'liyot and Nakal, you have to wear uniforms, right? They instituted big thing. This goes back a long time. No one can come because if the girls, everyone is able to dress. So, girls. Everyone has to become. So she said it doesn't accomplish anything because what happens? The accessories. That's what becomes the style. Everyone wears the same. Everyone wears the same dress. But everyone comes in. Who can outdo the other with the more beautiful earrings? Who has more beautiful jewelry and has a nice coat and nice shoes and a nice knapsack? You know. So just because the standard is the same, but there's always a place for a person to show his fashion style. By Hasidim, you know, it's a big thing. Someone tells us that Hasidim, a lot of they take, you know, they can't dress. That's the way they are. Everyone has to wear the same white shirt, the same kapata. So they enjoy glasses. Yes. You can wherever you can express yourself in something which is where there's no set rule. You know, a person needs an outlet, and that's why you notice in Bar Park, there's probably nowhere else. You're looking at these magazines; they have advertisements for ophthalmology, for eyeglass stores. They really have like nowhere else. They're really into this. Why? Because you need an outlet. You need an outlet in something where you can express yourself a little bit, you know, a little style. And of course, like you say, so when the Rabbanim get a hold, so, you know, in the very strict, when they get a hold of the boys are trying to outdo themselves and wearing different types of glasses, they put a ban. There's a ban. Everyone has to have the same glasses. What?
He got by Ernst Frankel on the Sabbath. He was the principal.
Yeah.
40, 50 years. He was the costume and everything. And he writes that when they first instituted the uniforms, Rabbi Eilish said he's against it. And they said, why? He said, because you're teaching the girls, in school you have to wear a uniform, but when you go home, sneers disappears. This is what he predicted.
Oh, Rav Yerla. But they still do it.
You need a uniform to miss the school or everywhere else.
Okay. Listen, all right, wait. So over here, I'm just putting it over here. You find this in Tanakh. You don't see this today, but you go look at the old pictures, even in America. Go back to the old Rabbanim in Europe. You see it was a big, big deal how to distinguish yourself by a belt. The belt was where all the style. That's where you showed yourself, your distinction. Chagori ezer kein derech levushe kastim, seruchei tevulim, yisere kovoim gidolim. Yisere means seruchei, like the Mishkan, the guard, the Urios, they were, it says the word seruach, that it dragged, it extended. Same thing, yisere kovoim gidolim, they had the hats were very large, it was a piece of cloth that went upon their head and draped upon their shoulders. Umenachin perash, hakutones badom. It means to pistroin suruche tivulim. So therefore, tveitul means to dip. Okay, and so what does it mean over here? Suruche tivulim ulkeinu serach oedef min hamitznefes tivua. So it means the word serach means the additional part of the material which dragged upon the ground, and the combination of these two words over here means is that the garment, the hat, was dipped in a dye to give it a beautiful color. Tivulim ein lo dimin lepistroino lefihu inyan. There is no equivalent of this word in Tanakh, and the translation here has to be understood from the context. Tchein tirgum yonason machasin kolsin. I don't know what that means.
Helmets.
What's that's kolsin? That's kolsin. What's machtin?
Placed
helmets. So that's a whole different translation. A helmet is not a cloth is not a cloth that just drapes over your shoulders. A helmet is usually has a connotation of something very hard to protect yourself. Okay, that would be a whole different interpretation of the
image
of what these people look like. Okay, they wore fashionable helmets. Like, you know, it's a big industry. It's a multi-million dollar industry. Bike helmets, all different types of technology. And after you have the technology of what's good, what's not good, is the style. The style and the design. It's very, very interesting. Okay, so everything is a Torah. Everything is a Chochmah.
Next. Yeah, Rabbeinu makes the point of saying that the Kazdiyim, these were, it's like, I lived on the east side until I got married. I live in Brooklyn much longer than I do in Manhattan.
But you still identify.
I'm still like an east sider, you understand? So these were people who were from Bavel, but they were Kazdiyim. That was their place of birth.
They were from Bavel, but they still identify with being the Kazdiyim.
Yeah, they were Kazdiyim.
Enochlam. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. My parents moved to Flatbush when I was in sixth grade.
Right.
Okay, so I was then probably how old was I? 10 years old. And yet, ad hayoyim hazeh, whenever I drive down the FDR, I always feel like I'm going home. I always have that heritage, I'm coming home now. I haven't been here in years.
You wouldn't recognize it anyway.
I don't recognize it. You go there, it's a whole different world. But yet, you can't take away girsa d'yankusa. Let's go now to the next word, the Shalishim Giborim. Shalishim means officers. Let's see the Radak. Radak Pasuk Tes Vav. The Radak here says, Chagori Ezra B'mosnehem. These Babylonians, they were dressed in these beautiful belts. Chagori B'choylom. First we have some grammar. B'hu Toyar, it's a description. Siper Tuchunas Malbushehem Hanirim Be'enehem Yofim. We are describing the nature of their garments. They appear to be very handsome, very fashionable. Tohu shahoyu chagurim b'mostehem, and these belts were along their loins. Mash ein oisim came b'nei Eretz Yisrael. So he's saying over here that the belts, I don't know what this means, that in Eretz Yisrael they did not wear belts.
I think he translates it as a girdle, which is more substantial than a belt.
Right. Belt is okay, so it's something very wide, a cummerbund. A cummerbund, something very substantial.
Girdle, you'll see. Right, you'll see what the Gemara and Shabbos
to make tight. Let's see. Masha Einaisim came b'nei Eretz Yisrael, v'shibchu min hagam al minhag atzmam. Their style of dress by wearing these large belts was unique, and the b'nei Eretz Yisrael were jealous. They also wanted to dress such a fashion. V'chim al sinu b'nei Rabbah. Same zal ki b'nei Bavel min hagam lakor eizu b'mosneyem, shamu b'perek yitzis ha-shabbos. Me'emosai is a famous Gemara. Me'emosai hascholas achila. Once a person begins to eat, he's not mechuyev to daven mincha, as long as he can estimate that he will finish the meal before the zman mincha arrives. But if you have not yet sat down to your su'uda, and the zman mincha has arrived, you're not allowed to eat until you first daven mincha. So at what moment in time is it called that you have begun the meal, and now you're allowed to delay mincha until later? Does that mean you have to wash? Does that mean you have to already be eating the bread, eating the second course? What's called the zman when you have begun to eat the meal? So the Gemara says, when you open your belt. Because in Bavel, the meaning was to have very tight belts, and when you and you cannot eat, the food cannot fit in your stomach until you open the belt. So that's what do we learn from this Gemara Derech Agav, our purpose, is that in Bavel, the custom was to wear tight belts. So where did they get this from? Where did the Babylonians get the custom? The Jews in Babel get the custom to wear tight belts. We see from this pasuk, this was the style of dress. This, whatever the goyim do, that's what the Jews do. Right? There's an expression in Yiddish like that. Me'emosai hascholas achila ravama mishayitol yodav. When you wash it once, says you should wash your hands. V'rav chanido amar mishayater chagoyroi v'loy pligi. And the Gemara is not a contradiction that when it says washing your hands, that refers to Eretz Yisrael where they did not have tight belts. V'loy pligi halon v'haluhu perush l'nei bavel mishayater chagoyroi l'nei Eretz Yisrael mishayitol yodav. When you wash your hands, v'yodamu hanei chavroin bavloy. Lamand Amar Tfilas Arvis Rishus Kevon Deshrole Hem Yene Lo Makilchinon Le. Same idea when it comes to Myriv, that if you want to daven Myriv, I mean you want to sit down to a meal, are you mechuyev to stop your meal in order to daven Myriv, or you're allowed to daven eat and then daven later? So since Marv is only Rishos, Mikra Hadin, therefore once you loosen your belt, you do not have to have Marv. Mashma ki bnei babel ha-yukhoigim ezo b'mosnehem. Okay, so if we learn over here on your site, you see over here where it really comes from. Seruchai, like in America, where do the black hats, where do the black hats come? Where do hats come from? In Europe they wore hats, right? They did wear hats, but in America... All the old footage. Yeah. All the old footage. All, everyone wore, you couldn't differentiate between...
Kilkenny.
Right. He was the one that was the first one not to wear a hat by inauguration, and the whole country followed suit. By not doing that. So where is it? But in Europe, you also wore hats. What? You look at that video they have of the Chafetz Chaim. It's that fascinating. You ever see the video 2 years ago? You see their mode of dress. You see when they all came to the Gesia Gedola, the way they dressed. So
they weren't all wearing black hats, though.
They were, of course not. Adrabi, they say in Slobodka, what?
Gray
and different types, styles, and the Hasidim, you don't see such dress like today. Today, you don't wear the Rabbanim dress. So the Rabbanim, some are so pompous, and the top hats, and the different...
Top hats was the style in Europe.
Very, very stylish. Very, very stylish, very, very fascinating.
Enoch Leibowitz, when he gave a shiur one time, he said when he was young and his father finally gave him the opportunity to go shop for himself. So he came home with a black hat and a black suit, and he thought he showed it to his father, and his father looked at him and said, "Are you going to a funeral?" He thought his father would be so happy. He said, "What's this?"
In Slobodka, you wouldn't dare wear a white shirt. A white shirt meant that you're a masculine. You had to have some stripes in the shirt. That was, and you, who wore a black hat? You had to be a rough wear. Everyone a gray hat, a white hat. Look at the pictures. Everyone wore different color hats. It's very, very fascinating, the mode of dress. I know even the women also. I know my great-grandfather, the Reish Rav's father, Rav Nosson Levine, he was the Rav in Reisha before Rav Aaron Levine. So when he came to town, he became the Rav. So the first night he slept in Reisha, the Hasidim threw stones. They shattered his windows. Why? They broke it. Why? They objected to him being Rav. So when they confronted them, what's wrong with Rav Nosson Levine? He's too modern. What do you mean he's too modern? What do you mean he's too modern? His wife, she wears a very stylish shaitel.
Why are you looking at his wife?
Why are you looking at the women, right? Too stylish. Okay, so everyone has their axe to grind. What? How are they looking? How are they looking? They went online. I guess they went online. They Googled her. Seruchei tevulim b'rosheihem. What? No, this was probably, I guess, 19. Even when was it?
1800s, probably.
No, maybe even the 20s, maybe even the 20s. Early
1900s.
Early 1900s.
You said, like the story you told yesterday with the Gadol, who says, "I'm 99 years old."
I'm still aroused. I see Anisha. Okay, so that's
same thing.
Nothing changes. Human nature stays the same. Seruchei tivulim b'rosh sheihem. They wore these hats, these very unique hats. Maybe they'll come back and style these hats one day. Oimer al hatsnifim hatsvum on these snifim, these kerchiefs. Okay, so he's defining over here as a piece of cloth that was draped around their head, not like a turban. Okay, a turban, is very tight, right? The turbans are all very, very meticulous. These shmatis, like the Arabs, they drape over their shoulders. Al hatsinifim hatsiluim b'minei tzivayinim tivulim retzolaymar tivulim b'tseva. It was dipped in dye. Kemo vayitbelu es hakutones badam. They dipped the kutones in blood to make it look. Bo b'chasson hametoar. So we're missing a word here. It says they were tivulim. Tivulim in what? That's the nature of Tanakh. We leave out words. We leave it to your imagination. Kemo ke'eder hakitzuvos. So I don't have different examples. Ke'eder hakitzuvos theorem means they were collected. They were missing words. They were missing words in those psukim as well. I don't know what that means. Ve'adayim lochem, different expressions in Tanakh where there are missing words and it's self-unzuf in the context. You have to add the correct word in order to make sense out of the expression. Ki b'nei babel misimim b'roshahim tzinifim tzivuim. They put on their heads these kerchiefs that are colored. Ve'oysam hatzinifim heim oitvim utuluyim lochem me'acharehem. And these kerchiefs, they extend the back upon their shoulders and their back. Period. This was the mode of dress of the Babylonians, and this is something which the B'nai Eretz Yisrael wanted to imitate. Ki b'nei, ki v'lo kein b'nei Eretz Yisrael. It draped, the additional material of the wreath was draped upon the floor of the behind the Mishkan. will drape over the previous layer. These hats, they draped. Al derech ke'ele noveles ole. I don't know what that means. She nikreis noveles mitzad olecha shehem noivlim. Okay, this is a grammatical form. He's trying to explain us how the two words work together. V'chem kirui v'godim v'gulchiz zakan v'adem rem smichus. These two words, they work together, and the garments, they just draped over their back. Next,
Mari. A certain style of offense, a certain Israeli circles where they wear very fancy headscarves that drape way down
over their back.
Yeah.
Like some people think that's what you do with talus, right? People who don't know the halacha, they take their talus and they put it over their shoulders. Right? They have the reform, you see these pictures of the reform.
They
drape a little, that's okay.
That's because it's uncomfortable. That's the way they feel.
Okay. Mare shalishim kulam. All of the images were images of leaders, giborim, kemo v'shalishim al kuloi. They were officers over all the chariots of Paro as they went out to the Yamsuf. Gidolim v'nichbadim kuloi mar kulam yesh lochem marei sorim v'nichbadim behisgo usam as they prided themselves b'levushehem u'v'darchehem and in their way of life. Dimos b'nei Babel, kenu dimos b'nei Babel, shem kastim. Here he says that the Bnei Bavel and the Kastim are synonymous, they're one and the same. Eretz Meladetam, v'aminik hazeh shehem noyhagim hu minag Eretz Meladetam mikedem. So it's tradition. The reason why they dress with these large girdles and with these large head coverings is because this was tradition from time immemorial. Mikedem v'lo shalaku oysa haminik mi'am acher. It's not because they took this mode of dress, they copied another nation. The Babylonians and the Kastim, this is the way they've been doing things since they were created. And the Jews, unfortunately, they were very enamored by this mode of dress and this style of dressing, and they wanted to copy them. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk tes Zion. Vatagva alehem. They lusted, the Jewish people of Yerushalayim, they lusted to imitate, to be partners with the Babylonians in their mode of dress by fantasizing upon them. When you look at the images on the wall, lamare eneha, to what eneha, with the eyes of the Jewish people saw. Vatishlach, and what did they do? They went and they tried to do things about it. Vatishlach malochim alehem kastim, they sent messengers to them in the land of Kastim in order to ingratiate themselves. Let's do another pasuk in Zion. Vayavo elecha bnei Vavel, and indeed the people of Babel they accepted the invitation when the messengers arrived in Babel and they were invited. Why don't you come to Eretz Yisrael and come and teach us your ways? We'll host you in the best hotels and we'll put you up and we'll dine together. So they say, okay, we're coming. Vayavo alech bnei Vavel lemishkav dodim, in order to lie in love. Dodim, lemishkav means to lie down. Dodim means love. Obviously, it's an expression of zinus. Vayitamu esa b'saz nusam, and indeed, the Babylonians contaminated the Jewish people through their licentious lie zinus. Vatitma vam, and they became contaminated through them. Vateka nafsha mehem, and Hashem here says a very powerful word. It was teka means to be dislodged. Vateka kaf yerech Yaakov. The thigh of Yaakov was dislodged. It was disconnected. So Hashem says, Vateka nafsha, the nesham of Hashem kavi yachol. Okay, the nafsha, he refers to Hashem, if I'm not mistaken, was dislodged from the Jewish people. When Hashem saw that Klal Yisrael has abandoned Hashem and has exchanged Hashem for imitating the Babylonians, the Kastim, Hashem said, if that's the case, you know what? I don't want to know from you. Let's see these two psukim. Inside Pasuk tests Zion in the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Vatagva. The Bnei Yerushalayim lusted. Choshko lohem bavur marei eneha, due to what they saw. Ayin roye leif choymeh. That's what Chazal say. It all starts with the eye. The eye sees, and it caused the heart to lust. They sent messengers wanting to come to Yerushalayim, we'll put you up over here and we'll do an Avera. Lemishkav dodim, to lie in love. Lishkoiv ima, to lie with her. Biderech ahava v'chiba, the derech of love. Different expressions of love. The Timuai saw the Mishkav Haznus, and the Babylonians contaminated the Jewish people with Zinus. After the Jewish people became contaminated, they continued to follow in their evil ways. And they turned away from herself. And the Jewish people, they turned away from themselves due to the love they had for them. Due to the love, they were blinded, they were swept away by the love they had for the Babylonians. They had no desire, they had no control. It seems like it says they had no control over themselves anymore. They had no, I don't know what I mean, like nishar
barotzain. They had no will of their own.
No will of their own. They were completely under the influence. They were under the influence of their of the Babylonians. Let's see what it says in Rashi. Pasuk Tezayin Lamari Neha Bishvil Sheras Demus Tzurasan. All of this all started because of looking. All starts with the eyes. Eyes see something, they right away cause things to percolate in the mind, and one thing leads to another until a person loses control. You lose, become an addict. An addict is, by definition, a person that has lost control. I'm not in charge. Vayavohu eilecha b'nei bavel l'mishkav dodin karsu yachad bris. Okay, so here Rashi is going to tell us in some Amari Chazal. They forged a covenant. When it says a mishkav, a lying of love, it means there was a covenant with them. They made alliance. They made some alliance that they're going to, whatever that means. V'omer ani shezenem al Chizkiah. Now here Rashi is referring specifically to the time of Chizkiah HaMelech. Now he was one of the greatest kings. He was phenomenal. He was meant to be the Melech HaMashiach. And his day, the Yerushalayim was just about to be destroyed. And the miracle happened that the entire army of Sancheriv was wiped out. Yet, later, at the end of his Malchus, he made a fatal mistake. And that was that the whole world heard about the miracle of how Klal Yisrael survived against the mighty army of Sancheriv. And they sent letters of congratulations. They sent a shluchim. And the father of Nebuchadnezzar, Merodach Baladon, he went and he heard about the miracles. He wanted to see who this nation is, and he came, and Chizkiah was too nice to him. He took him into the Kodesh HaKodashim.
Tour of the White House.
Tour of the White House of the Kodesh HaKodashim. He took him into the Kodesh HaKodashim. He opened up the Keruvim and he showed him the Luchos. He showed him the Luchos. Now, first of all, what is Chizkiah doing in the Kodesh HaKodashim?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a whole shot. First of all, it's not necessarily Asr because the only, it's only for no purpose. And on Yom HaKippurim. On Yom HaKippurim, you're not allowed to.
How could he go in there without coming out dead?
Oh, so that's the type of discussion. So it could very well be someone to say is that if you have a tzarech, if you have a needless, they did construction, when they made renovations, they had to go in there. So maybe when the melech had to go in for the purpose of retrieving the Sefer Torah to make it, let's say there was a controversy. If the letters of the Sefer Torah and the Sefer Torah was the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu was in there. Was inside. Or maybe in order to inspire, they had to bring out the man. Yirmiyah, he went inside to take out the man. The Tzinsenes Haman, to tell the people, you don't have to work so hard. Hashem will provide you with parnasa. So maybe when there was a need for inspiration, to look at the luchos, to recharge the spiritual batteries of Klal Yisrael, indeed, you can bring a raya that there were times when it was necessary for people to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim to see what's doing. And maybe that required even maybe world leaders. There was maybe such a thing that maybe it was appropriate for a world leader to come inside to the Kodesh HaKodashim. But here the criticism was that you went too far. Nebuchadnezzar, Merodach, what was his name? Merodach Baladon. he did not fit the, he did not have the qualifications. The necessity was, it was too much. He went overboard in this particular instance of taking him into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu was very angry, and Hashem said, you want to show it to him? The day will come when he'll have it. He'll take the Aron, he'll end up having power and dominance over this makom. Vani oimer shezinam al chizkiyo shesomach al malachay meroidach bal adon. He rejoiced, he delighted in the presence, in the company of the king meroidach bal adon, who was the father or grandfather of the Nebuchadnezzar. This was when Bavel was not even on the map. Bavel was not even a nation at this time. It wasn't even considered to be a nation. Ve'achilon al shulchanoi, and Tzidkiyahu was too gracious to him, and he fed him on his table. Ve'heram es beis nichoso, and nichoso literally means spices. It means besamim. It means fragrances. So some want to say this refers to the Kodesh HaKadosh, because that's where you offer the ketores, the ultimate fragrance, on Yom HaKippurim. So therefore, the Beis Nechoso means the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'dugma sh'amar hanavi, anshei michukeh alakir. And now he's going back to explain what it says over here, that the people of michukeh, there were people, images of people that were etched upon the wall. L'fish shenei eretz rechoyka ba'u. V'lohoy b'nei kastim v'gilim etzim. The reason why they needed to make murals to show what they looked like was because they never saw these people. They don't even know what they look like. They were not familiar. K'mosh nemar sh'am, mei eretz rechoyka ba'u elai. That Meroidach Baladon, he said about himself that he came from a very far away place. They saw them once. They were chaviv, they were precious in the eyes of the Jewish people, and therefore they made murals showing what they looked like. And when the king came, he took him into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to show him the luchos. And this was something which v'hikdid HaKadosh Baruch Hu al hadavar. You don't do this. You have to be very, very careful when it comes to a non-Jew. Kumo shenemar, hinei yamim bohim, days are coming, v'nisa es kol asher b'beisecha, I'm going to take away everything that is in your home. V'divrei hayom v'loike gmul olav heshev chizkiyahu, ki gova libo v'hi olav ketzef. And not according to the way Kigmulov Heshiv, I know this refers to, I'm not sure how in the context of this pasuk. Kigov Aliba Vahiolov Ketzev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Chizkiyo because he was too kind, too gracious to this non-Jewish king. Mm-hmm. Guys, so if you learn over here, you're very careful. You know, this past week everybody made a very, very big tumult. Everyone is talking about it. The one who leads Amudim, what's his name? Glock. Everyone saw that video where they had a meeting with the Pope. And they had a conversation, and then they were singing the nusach of giving him a bracha of Arichas Yamim. So this is something which is it's very interesting. I'm sure you've all seen the video. And if you've not seen the video, I think you should really see the video. It's Kedai, I don't think it's Kedai to see. And there is a major, major tumult, different ideas. If this was correct, if this is not correct, how there's an issa deraisa lo sechonim. Okay, but yet the other hand, we find numerous memory chazal that you have to be very gracious, kvod malchus, and you have to be very careful, very gracious to the malchus, and the pope has enormous power and influence over the entire world. So I mean, where do you find the balance, the proper balance of giving kavod to the pope and not violating and not going a bit too far in the world of halacha? Look at Chizkiyo. He struggled with exactly the same issue. Here, there was a very great miracle, and this person, this king, Meroidach Baladon, came to visit, and he was very kind and gracious, but yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you went too far. There's a limit to how gracious you should be when meeting with non-Jews. So this is something which, I mean, I tell you, there are many rabbanim, and every rav, everywhere has a different approach, different understanding, a different hashkafa in this matter. But if you want to see the evidence, it's very easy to see it. I have it even on my phone. Someone even sent me a very clear video of it on my phone. I have it here. Okay, let's now go to the next words of the pasuk. It's very disturbing, this part of the pasuk. Hashem, we saw what Hashem saw, that you sent messengers to cast them, and you invited them to come, and they contaminated you. Vateka nafsha mehem, Hashem says that my soul nafsha mehem shemorad bohem yehoyakim vitzilkio. Now he's learning over here, not like what I told you. I told you from the Mitsudos. Did I even read it? I told you from the
Mitsudos.
Okay, what did I tell you from the Mitzvot?
About Rod Paladon?
What pasuk?
Yeah, pasuk Yitzayim. Okay, Rashi didn't really say anything about this. Rashi did not tell us. Oh no, I didn't even read Rashi. I did not. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I did not yet translate the pasuk in the Mitzvot. Let's first see the Mitzvot pasuk Yitzayim. Yitches. We read the pasuk. Yitzayim. We did Yud Zayin. And now Rashi, the Mitzudos did not explain what it means. Vateka nafsha mehem. Okay, he did not explain those words. He left those that perish blank. Okay, it's not in his perish in the Mitzudos Dodik. So I told you what it means that Hashem's neshama was dislodged from Klal Yisrael. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, "Vateka nafsha mehem shemorad bohem yehoyakim v'tzidkiyahu." It means that even though at this point in time they were contaminated and they had loved them, ultimately at a later point in time, yehoyakim and v'tzidkiyahu remove themselves from their love of Nebuchadnezzar, of the nation of Babel, by rebelling. Yehoyakim and Tzidkiyahu rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. Vateka, it was dislodged. Nafsha, her neshama, the neshama of Klal Yisrael, mehem, from the Babylonians. Shemorad, bohem, Yehoyakim, and Vitzidkiyahu, the two last kings, the later kings, towards the very, very end. Vateka, now he translates the precise meaning of the word Vateka, means to be dislodged. Chol, you have a translation for this?
Dislodged, or dislocated.
Dislocated. Come about, Vateka, Kaf, Yerech, Yaakov. Hoikoha, what's the word hoikoha? Lashon chibur. The word,
your,
now this
is one of your words.
Right, not one of mine. This is every word can mean itself and the opposite. And if hoikoha, lashon chibur, to be thrust, hoikoha means it should be firmly attached. Usikias eitz baritzu, v'chein behish, and therefore, like you thrust a peg into the ground. Therefore, you take the same letters, you put the vowels, you change the vowels, it means to dislodge. It means the same thing. V'chen b'hishtalfo min aretz, when you remove it, when you withdraw the peg or the piece of wood from the earth, yipol bo l'shon ki'iyah, then it refers to uprooting. Kasher toimar v'tashrei shorosheho l'shon kilita v'chol tivu asit tishoresh l'shon ikor. So you see in one place it says Vatashresh means to take root, Lashon Kilita, it takes root. And the same exact letters with the whole Tivuasi Sisharesh means to uproot. Lashon Ikur. So sometimes it means the same letters means to connect, and sometimes it means to dislodge. V'chein bis'ifecha poria Lashon Anofim. Misoev pura loshen kotzets anfeho eitz uforosav. So sometimes it means this word misoev bis ifeha means it should grow, it develops, and sometimes it means to cut, to it should not grow. It should be the branches, the poria should be to be dislodged, should be branched. So the same words many times mean to mean either the positive or negative. Like Miriam. What is Miriam? Okay, the mother, the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu. She was called Miriam. Miriam is mar, bitter. What father in the world will call his daughter bitter? Well, the truth is, Chazal say that's exactly what he did, because it was during the Shibut. When she was born, that was when the Shibut started. The day the Shibut, they were enslaved, and Paro said no more subsidies and everyone's going to go to work and you're going to become my slaves, was on the day when Miriam was born. So as a zecher, he called his daughter Miriam Lashon bitter. Okay, that's what it says in Chazal. But that's a medrash. But let's go talk to a child psychologist. What child psychologist will tell you should call your daughter bitter? So every time, your entire life, when you look at her and you call her, you'll think about bitterness. What kind of effect will that have on the child? Doesn't make sense. So you know the answer is, mar is bitter, but mir is sweet. It's the same word. The same word means itself sweet. Sweet. It doesn't play on the word. Every time you have a word, it's the same exact principle. Every time, mir. Mir, like mir yeshiva. Mir yeshiva. Sweetness. Every word you have, you have this principle. Yishrash, yisharesh. Every word can mean its complete opposite when you manipulate its vowels. So he called his daughter sweetness. You're sweet. The hidden message in why I'm calling you sweet is because on this day something very bitter happened.
It's funny because a lot of people, when they pronounce the name Miriam, they say Mariam.
Mariam. Mar, bitter. Yeah. That's
I don't know if it's just the pronunciation.
That's a European thing.
Right, I know. But they say Mariam.
Tantum in Europe. Tantum
is the translation. How the name translates. I understand.
Alright, let's now go to the Radak. Radak on these two psukim, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayavo Yelech Lemishkav Doidim. The Babylonians arrived and they engaged in this term called Mishkav Doidim, to lie, to sleep in a state of love. Lehis Arev Imohem Ba'avodas Elohim Uvemasehem, to mingle with them in their engagement of idolatry. Sheyiyu shavim b'mina yachad, they should do the same thing. Vayit tamu oisal limdum darke avodah zo shalachem, the Babylonians taught them how to worship the idols. Vateka nafsha mehem kimo, vateka kaf yerach Yaakov, inyan hasaras adavim b'mukamo, v'sharashoy ko'o kuf aynayin, v'inyan zeh hamered, shamoran yohayakim b'melech Babel. Here it says, ultimately, like Zachin tzid kiyoho, exactly what it says in Rashi, ultimately, at a later point in time, Yehoyakim and Tzidkiyahu had enough of this connection with the Babylonians, and they rebelled. Vategal Taz Nusecha Pasuches Kinoi. That's why we didn't do that yet. Okay, now it's Pasuches. Vategal Taz Nusecha. It was now through this activity of engaging, of becoming contaminated, they became. It was revealed to the world Taz Nusecha, her Zinus. Vategal es erva sa, the erva of the Jewish people was exposed. Now we have a new expression. Hashem is speaking now. Vateka nafshi me'olah. Now is the part what I said before, I made a mistake, it refers to this pasuk. Hashem is speaking. My neshama has been dislodged me'olah from upon the Jewish people. The Shechina is going to depart. Kasher noko nafshi me'olah. So just like Hashem says, I remove my presence, my divine presence from Shemroin, from the Aseres Hashvatim. Radak Mitsudos, Pasuk Yudches. Vategal Taz Nusech, Vachasher Gilsa Zinusa, Lasois, Bepirsim Vigilsa, Besar Ervasa. And when it was exposed, her Znus, to do publicly, Znus, Vigilsa, Besar Ervasa, Lahalev Cheshek Minofecha, she exposed herself in order to arouse the desire of the men that she did the Avera with. Vateka oz, when this happens, Sara nafshi ritzoni me'olecha v'chaysa sunua be'enai k'moshe sarsa nafshi me'alachaysa, she was hated in my eyes, just like her sister was hated in my eyes. Achaysa hola usineisiha, I hate her, ritzoni le'mar, kisheshama hatzlochas hakasdim umarbis tevasam, when she heard about the success of the kasdim umarbis tevasam sholcha aleihem ma'alach, he's going back to review the entire section. Klal Yisrael, they sent messengers, Lekabel Pisilehem Leloha, to accept their gods as the gods of the Jewish people. Umeoid Nimshucha Acharehem, they were drawn after the worship of the idols of the Babylonians. Bavur Zeh, because of this, Hashem says, Sora Nafshi Mimena Kimo Shesora Me'ohola. Hashem says, I remove my divine presence from them, just like I remove my divine presence from the Shemron, the Aseres Hashon. There is no Rashi, Radak, Pasuk Yudches, the Tegal er Tataz Nusecha, Kinoida Lekol Kizon Sachar Elohim Achirim, Vategal es Ayrvasa, Zeu Sheba, Tzidkiyahu, El Ho'olo, Asher Hishbio, Melech Bavel. What? Shabiza tzikyoes Allah. He nulled the oath. He was not faithful to the oath that he took to Nebuchadnezzar. Asher hishpiyo melech bavel beelohim. But he would not rebel. Vateka nafshi meolecha kolaymar silakti shechinasi mimena. The Shechinah departed from her. Shatia hefker lemelech bavel oiva. That the Jewish people would be hefker to the king of Babel. Vayachriv ho'ir v'yagle ha'am. He would destroy the city, exile the people, Kemosha also the Shomer, like he did to Shomer, not him, but what Sancheriv did to Shomer is exactly what Nebuchadnezzar would do to Klal, to Yehuda. Okay, Pasik Yud Tes. We're coming here to a very important Pasik. I thought we would get to it already. Okay, two Psukim. Okay, it's going to be, that's the next Pasik. Okay, next Pasik. Vatarbe es Taznu Seha. Nothing didn't stop. She increased. The cycle of znus increased. She increased her znus liskar esimei ni'ureha, to remember her days of her youth, asher zonsa bi'eretz Mitzrayim. Let's see the Mitzudos pasuk yutes. It says, that's how this whole parak started. Parak started is with when she was molested in Egypt. When the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, they were molested, and that meant that they worshipped the idols of the Egyptians. So here it says pasuk yutes in Mitzudos vatarbe, v'hirbisa oid es taznu seha, Liskor es hanasa, to remember what was done b'mei nurech asher zonsa b'eretz Mitzrayim. What's happening now here at 480 years later is all a reminder of what happened back in Egypt before Yitzias Mitzrayim. Rashi pasuk yutes, liskor es b'mei nurecha, olas aliva tavas b'nei Mitzrayim. It went upon her heart the desire of B'nai Mitzrayim. Shesholach tzidkiyo aleihem shenemar vayimrod bo lishloach malach of Mitzrayim. So here he interprets this more homiletically, is that at this point in time, when Nebuchadnezzar, when Tzidkiyahu rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, he did so because he had confidence in Egypt. Egypt would come to their rescue in case Nebuchadnezzar would launch an attack. So we're referring it that here at this moment in time, the betrayal of Klal Yisrael to Bavel was because they had in their back pocket Mitzrayim, their alliance with Egypt, which was the world power at that point in time. Okay, Radak pasuk yutes vatarbe ez taznu secha liskar simei nurecha kol kach hirbasa taznu secha at shezocha lo hakel yisparach et saros she'asa bimei nurecha b'mitzrayim. So he's learning the pasuk. We had this idea back a few psukim before, back in the previous parak, is that when a person does an avera, Hashem has a tendency to forget. Hashem is very gracious. He's willing to forgive and forget. But the more a person continues to do the avera, the more Hashem is reminded of the old averos. Until it reaches a tipping point in the smala hasa, the measure is full, and then Hashem lets out his full wrath. So that basically means over here is that when Klal Yisrael worship the idols in Egypt, Hashem never really cleaned the slate. This was all on record, that we were idol worshippers back in Egypt. Hashem just looked the other way. Hashem covered it. Kapara means to cave, just to make a covering. But as Klal Yisrael continued to worship idols, and the intensity grew to a very great degree, Hashem began thinking, why are they worshiping idols? Oh, this is nothing really new. This goes all the way back to the time of Egypt, when they worshipped idols in Mitzrayim, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu let out his anger and allowed the Churban to happen. And we had that theme brought out in much greater intensity in the beginning, in the previous parak. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. This pasuk, I thought we would spend the whole shiur on this pasuk. I was not going to have time, but this was what I really prepared for today, this pasuk. Vata'agva al pilak shehem. Continuing. The intensity of the desire, it's a sickness, it's an addiction. The addiction of Gili Arayis, of worshipping idols, grows and grows and grows until they lusted not just for having with Ashes Ish, with the Egyptians, but also even for Pilak Shehem, for their concubines. Asher, and here we're describing that we're referring to the Pilak Shehem of the Egyptians, Asher, Bisar Chamoyrim Bisarom. Now again, referring here to the Egyptians. Right. That is the Peshutta, that's a very critical point. From this Pasuk alone, you would not know that, because this Pasuk does not say that. It's only after you understand that Pasuk Yud Chaf is connected to the Pasuk Yutes, right, the previous Pasuk. What about Mitzrayim? They lusted for their pilak shehem. Asher, what is a pilagish? What is a non-Jew? Bisar chamoyrim bisaram. The flesh of a donkey is their flesh. The zirmas susim zirmas, some their flow. The flow of shichva zera is equivalent to the shichva zera that flows from a horse. Okay, a very graphic description of what the Torah thinks about a non-Jew.
What kind of, it should be a kal v'chomer just the opposite.
What do you mean a kal v'chomer the opposite? I don't get this.
Not only they lust after the pilakshays, they also lusted after the women, the married women.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I don't know the psychology behind it.
Unless we're talking about what they did in the past, someone else's
marriage. Okay, let's see. Let's go slow. Let's see the Mepharshim one at a time. First, let's see the Mitzudos. Vata agva, lust. Choshka el pilag shusam. They lusted towards the pilakshim. Lios lechem lipilegesh hamuchenes lemishkav hamishkal. So it seems more. It seems an isha is more dignified. She's not available whenever you want. She's not available for a man at any moment in time. A pilegesh is miyuchet for this purpose. So therefore, it represents a greater degree of taiva. That's how the mitzvah seems to understand a pilegesh. A pilegesh is peleg, is half. Peleg, peleg is... Peleg, it's not even... It's a lower level. Asher, al asher, eider ha-tashmish shalochem gadol kishol chamar. Very graphic in the mitzvah that he's describing when it says bisar chamayre means... The Eiver HaTashmish. The Eiver HaTashmish is by a chamar large. The Zirmas, HaZera, Shalachem, the flow of Shechva Zera, Meruba, is in abundance, Kizerem Shefia Zera HaSusim. So that's why we specifically focus on these two animals. Size and the flow of Zera. V'derech Zoyna Mufleges, B'tachlis HaHefker, Lis Avos Be'ela, a woman who is a zona, but the tachlis haznus yearns for this type of activity. Rashi pasuk chaf ta agva al pilak shehem al pilak shusam lios lachem lipilagish. They desire they should be for them a pilagish. Shabesar chamonim b'sadam eiver hatashmish v'zirmas susim loshen ribui tashmish shemarim tashmish yosh shemishah hazochadim shemehema zirmas is kiluach hazera, the flow of zera kamo zenemaim over, like a flowing water which passes. So Rashi is a bit different. It does a bit different. Means the frequency. The frequency doesn't just mean that there is an abundance of zera. It means the frequency of this activity is why they lost it for these people, and we call you comparing it to a horse. Radak.
No, it's the exact same thing because the Tzudas David on the first part says liyush lehem lepelegish hamuchenes.
Hamuchenes. But he's focusing on the word susim. Let's not go into such detail. Okay, it's not necessary. Kesheimish mekavol schal adrisha, mekavol schal adrisha. Okay, let's go to the Radak.
Esther was her living with Achashverosh, then that Asa her on Mordechai later on. Because Esther, she did it, whether it was...
Kark
Oilam, but it does it, but it says, so we use the pasuk Zirmasusim, Zirmasam, that it's the beer with the shegits counts for nothing, or does that only mean Mitzrayim?
Only Mitzrayim, okay. Let's
brings down the Tosfos in Suvis and uses it like that.
Okay, let's see the Radak, and I want to tell you at least one amazing medrash. Okay, one amazing medrash. Well, let's see if Radak. Radak over here says, no, we're not going to have time for the Radak. It's too long. So let me just tell you the medrash right now. I tell you, I never saw a medrash like this. I'll tell you a medrash. Such a medrash I never saw. This is new to me. Maybe you know this, but
where is this?
Let me tell you one moment. It's an obscure medrash. Medrash Agod, Medrash Agodas, Agodos, Shmos Peraches Tezayin. I don't know what that. Medrash Aleph Gimel Dalet Tov. I assume it means Agodos.
Okay.
You know, you're familiar with this?
I mean, I know there's such a thing as Agodos
Bereshit. Okay, listen to this. This is totally new to me. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashkein ba'boker v'hisyatzev lifnei Paro. Get up early in the morning and go to Paro. And tell Paro, let my people go. Right?
Right.
Story of Egypt. V'lo ma'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe she'yisyatzev hashkein ba'boker. Why did Hashem say to Moshe, get up early in the morning? V'yashkein Avraham ba'boker. Zrizim ha'pimim l'mitzvahs. Why is it necessary to go 6 in the morning, go to the parlor, make an appointment 11 o'clock in the morning?
Traffic.
Okay. So the answer is, so the Medrash says, Lufi, she'oysa harasha mishtabeach, and we all know this chazal, she'eino yoytze lin kovav. Paro used to brag that he's a god. And a god does not need to go to the Beis HaKisei. A god has no pesoilas. There's nothing, there's no waste. And he told the people, look, I'll prove to you I'm a god. Did you ever see me step out? To go to the base? Never! So it goes to show I'm a god, and therefore everyone here should worship me. All of you Egyptians, bow down. Lefi shehu elo eloha. Lekach amas lefra that. But so what was the truth? The truth was, he's a mortal man, and he goes to the base like he says. So when does he go? He goes early in the morning. He goes 6 in the morning, so therefore he goes to the Nile to relieve himself. So therefore Hashem, that's where you can get him. That's his weak point. That's where you'll find him. You can have a conversation. Therefore, l'kach hamakadosh baruch hu l'moshe, hine yotze abayma b'hashkama, go out early. V'holach Moshe v'ra, shul chutzrach paro l'tzrachav ha'gedoylem. And Moshe saw, Moshe caught him in the act. Moshe caught, we all know this medrash, and not so far everything is the same, right? So far so good. And Moshe, when he saw, he needed the bosa kisei. Miad Moshe, holach v'achozoi. So Moshe, now here's where it gets interesting. Moshe was trying to prevent Paro from going into the Beis HaKisei, from doing his needs. Omar lo, hanachli, she'eset tzirochai. In other words, Moshe, I guess, greeted by the beach and start having a conversation. And Moshe didn't let up. So Paro, I have to step out. So, oh, got you. You have to step out. So I have to step out for a moment. And when I come out, we'll continue the conversation. So, Hanachli she'eset tzirochai. V'achakach adar b'emach. Let me step out for a moment. When I return, we'll continue the conversation. Omalo. V'chiyesh Eloha shutzorech l'nekovov. So Moshe got Paro. Is there such a thing as a god that needs to go to the Beis HaKisei? Omalo. Now listen to this. It's unbelievable. Paro says, V'chiyani Eloha? Oh, you think I'm a god? You Moshe, you think I'm a god? Come on, who are we fooling over here? I'm just a human being. Amalo, you're admitting that you're not a god? In einata Eloah, lo v'lama tishabach atzmacha b'zeh. Why do you make believe then? Why then does the whole nation worship you? Why do you go and you fool everyone? And if you're telling me, you're confessing to me at this moment in time that I'm not a god, and you're even telling to me with a rhetorical question, I think I'm a god. So how come the whole thing is just a farce? This whole show you put on. Omalo. So Paro says, Moshe, you're a smart man. Who am I making believe I'm a god in front of? My nation, Egypt. They're all a bunch of donkeys here. Omalo. But let's name me Mishabeach Aniyah Asatzmi. Amalo, listen, Hamitshim. Amalo, Paro said to Moshe, Oysam Shaitim Haim. That's right, because they I can fool. They're a bunch of idiots. That's why I do it. I don't even consider my own people to be in the category of human beings. Ve'enom b'cheshbon b'nei Adam, ki em b'cheshbon chamoirim, shenemar asher b'sar chamoirim b'saram. Isn't it amazing? Yeah. You ever hear such a thing that Paro, he did not even view the people, according to this Medrash, his own nation that he ruled over with an iron fist, as being human beings. He viewed them to be donkeys, and therefore he took advantage. He abused them, and he made believe, he made his own religion. I'm a god. But you, Moshe, you're a smart, intelligent man, you know the truth, so in front of you I don't have to make believe. Isn't that amazing? That's a whole new insight, because you don't get that picture. When you learn Chumash, and you learn the major Mamari Chazal, you get the picture that Paro really believed he was a god, or he had a nation, and he had a sophisticated country, and Pirate basically saying my whole life is a lie. These people are a bunch of low lives, they're a bunch of nothings, and if I'm taking advantage of them, and
don't mess up my business.
Don't ruin my business. Exactly. It's an amazing insight, and that's where this pasuk says, "Besar chamoyim bisaram." Okay, there are many more. Chazal and Yirtzah Hashem, we'll do tomorrow more.